This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
These are not the droids you're looking for. Where the heck are they?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all the feedback from the geeks. This is the listener feedback show for Monday, January 21st, 2008. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Glad to hear it. Yeah, I'm doing all right. A little frigid and cold, but by the time most people hear this, the temperatures will be maybe back above zero again.
I know. It was like had to be in the 30s here.
We've got some in the regular show that you hear in a couple of days. We've got something that deals with the cold, so we'll talk about that later. This time, this is the companion podcast for Technorama. This goes along with our regular show that comes out once a week, typically on Wednesdays, if Craig's on schedule with the post-production. If you're new to Technorama, there is another major piece to this. If this doesn't make any sense, go back one show and have a listen. Otherwise, pull up a chair and spend a few minutes with us and a few of our closest friends who wrote in, called the listener line, or sent us audio clips like these fine people.
With another clear abuse of technology, this is Will, the computer guy.
Oh, boy.
As a computer technician, you see some really strange things. We put some limits in place to make sure that users don't abuse our technology. With email, we have a limit in place where at 400 megabytes, you get a warning your mailbox is getting too big. At 500 megabytes, you are not able to send. So when a user comes to you and says, I can't send email, the immediate first response is, how big is your mailbox? So we look. It's 523 megabytes. So we archive, we bring it down to 270, let's say. The next day, we get an email from the user. I cannot send email. How big is your mailbox? We check. It's back over 500 megabytes. We check his sent items. When you send a 20 megabyte file to 20 people, your mailbox will grow exponentially sometimes. Anyway, no, that actually doesn't work. But yeah, it does. When you send it to 20 individual people, it's amazing. Anyway, I just got stuck in roadwork traffic. That was another clear abuse of technology.
I don't know if that's so much abuse of technology, but it sure would be fun to abuse the users.
I don't know. Somebody's abusing something. Yeah, maybe they should abuse. Maybe he should abuse the users. That would be that'd be some nice therapeutic stuff there.
I don't know. Let's move along.
Okay.
Hey guys, this is Scott Reynolds. I'm going to admit I'm a little bit behind, but way back in December you were talking about the identity of Kit. And Chuck made the comment, doesn't anybody have an original thought anymore? And I'm sad to say that pretty definitively the answer is no, or at least in part it's no, because just about on January 3rd or so, in our local viewing area, Chuck, a new station came online. It's actually Digital Subchannel 3 for WBAY. And it is the Retro Television Network. They are playing programs from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, including such favorites as Mission Impossible and, of course, Knight Rider. So, yeah, it's something else to watch those old shows these days. So, anyway, 101, guys. We'll talk to you.
Knight Rider, now I know where I can find it. I'm going to have to put that in my TiVo season pass manager.
Well, I'll be honest with, like I said, I'm looking forward to see what they do with it.
The new one?
Yeah, you know.
No, he's talking old one.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm just saying, I'm talking about the new one. He was talking about the old, you know, recycling the old ideas. I'm like, I agree. There is no original ideas, nor do they feel like they should go out on a limb to get one.
I don't know. I'm sure after we talk to Dr. Michio Kaku that we'll find out there are a lot of original ideas. And some that were recycled, some that were invented, then disposed of, then recycled and thought to be brilliant. I just found something out that I'm going to put in our line of questions that I thought was absolutely fascinating last night.
I have a feeling in his line of work, there are a lot of original ideas, but those just aren't circulated around the general public.
First, you start out as a crackpot, but it's an original idea, and then you're labeled as a genius after you convince everybody else.
True. Yeah.
All right, we'll keep going. We've got a billion voicemail to go
Holy
through.
Cow.
Hey, guys, this is Mark in Memphis.
Mark.
I had a fellow call in on the voicemail show and say that sound of that found clip was a card puncher.
Yeah.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's a little more than that. I believe it's something we used to have in a place I worked, a card duplicator. You put a stack of cards in one side, and it read the cards and punched another copy on fresh cards on the other side, because we had packages of cards that ran things on our computer that you just, I mean, you know, you kept extra copies in case the copy you were running wore out or tore a card or whatever. You had to have another copy of the program sitting there ready to go. So anyway, I think it was a card duplicator. That's why it hit so fast. Otherwise, somebody's got a really fast typing.
That's a good point. That did sound a little fast for typing. But you know what's even? You know what's sad?
What's that?
Is that he recognized that and knew what it was.
Sad or impressive?
Both.
Yeah, both.
That reminds me, we were doing some major maintenance this weekend at work. We only have very finite maintenance windows because the company I work for during the day is a global company. So we have to be very precise in our maintenance windows, and we can't be too close to month end, and we can't be too close to quarter end. And
or year end.
So this Saturday was one of those big times. We had to upgrade RAM on one of the ERP database servers, and we were going to attempt a BGP upgrade from EIGRP on the MPLS network. Don't expect me to recite what any of that means, but I just know that it happened
there was supposed to happen. Then EMP, and it just kind of blew up everything.
EIEIO, ABC, UPS.
ASAP.
Anyway, all the maintenance gets done. We get to the end of the night, and we find out that our AS400 is not coming up because of a hard drive failure. Sound familiar? Like something I had to deal with earlier this year?
Yeah.
Well, no, my wife used to be the AS400 administrator till about 7 years ago. And they said, well, if we're going to call in a service ticket tomorrow, we're going to need the serial number. And she rattled it off so fast that everybody thought she made it up. You know, SO12P84. Did you
That's funny.
She says, that's the only thing I know about the AS400 anymore.
That's like I installed this OEM version of Windows on all these machines I've been
building. And you knew the activation key.
I built machines day in and day out. I built sometimes 15 machines. And I would start a machine installing, and I knew that code. And I bet if I think about it enough, I could probably figure it out now. But I knew that number. I could just... You know, I could just type it out that fast and go on to the next machine. So, yeah, that was stuck in my head for years.
The things you remember.
Yeah, the important things, like OEM numbers.
Hey, Chuck, Craig. This is Norbert.
Norbert!
To, episode 201, where Craig was talking about Sony BMG's new DRM-free music and how they're putting all their stuff out with DRM-free, and Craig described the way that it's going to be done, and I think that's the best way to do DRM-free music is just to do just DRM-free music. Just don't put any music on there. So listen to what you say there, Craig. Go back and view it, and they're going to take off. They're not going to have any music on there. They're not going to have any music on their DRM-free music. But check it out, Craig. You did it again.
That's the...
Out.
It's the secret business model that they're putting out.
You did it again.
I just have insider information on that.
You've been called out again, buddy.
Hey, well, actually, you know what? I'm not far off, because actually for their BMG Sony's DRM free music, you have to actually go buy a card at a store to be able to purchase it online. Kind of like a gift card.
Okay.
So you're still going to the store to buy your music. Somebody's not getting the point here.
It's online, but it's brick and mortar. Moving right along.
Hey guys, JT from GigCast here.
JT!
Regarding the $12 toll on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel that they talked about from Virginia Beach to Point North.
Yeah.
You know, sure, it's $12, but it saves you, say, on a trip from Virginia Beach to, say, New York, you know, Point North, that sort of thing. It saves you 80 miles, or 76 miles, according to Google Maps. I think shaving 76 miles off your drive is worth $12. Anyway, especially if you're going points south of that, say somewhere in Delaware, and drive up all the way around Chesapeake Bay, you got to be kidding, right? $12 is well worth that. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. You swim to the beach and you tell. All right, go Navy. All right, guys, talk to you later. Keep up good work. 101.
101.
101.
Yeah. You know, he's got a point. If you took, say, 76 miles and your vehicle got 25 miles a gallon, you saved 3 gallons of gas, which around $3 a gallon is already $9 just in the gas. Now, yeah, figure it's going to take an hour, maybe an hour 15, if you're moving at the speed limit all the time, which I highly doubt.
Yeah.
You've said it's worth it. It's worth it. It's still expensive if you got to commute every day going cha-ching, $12, cha-ching, $12.
I think it kind of break even, though. But yes, but as far as time, I guess that does save you a little bit.
Take the company vehicle. Have them reimburse you.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a good idea. How about just use a transporter and we'll just be done with it all?
When are you going to get to work on that?
Right after the show.
Hey, Chuck, they do still make computers with 25-pin parallel ports.
Not many.
Brand new Dell Optiplex 745 machines, which I work with at work, have them, as do the docking stations for all of the Dell Latitude D series notebooks.
Docking stations, yes.
Thanks. Just wanted to clear that up. Bye.
Okay, that I can see, a docking station, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, the actual laptop, not many anymore.
But I mean, is it really necessary nowadays?
No. Most printers come with USB.
It's like a floppy. I mean, is it really necessary?
Floppy?
Huh?
Heck, they're starting to get rid of, you know, things like CD-ROM drives.
Well, yeah, look at Apple.
Yeah, the Mac Air. What's it got?
Just this week they slashed them.
They got rid of FireWire now, too.
Yeah, you know, that was something else I noticed off that MacBook Air, is that the FireWire is gone, which I hadn't heard anybody really mention about. But that's pretty big for a Mac, but I guess it's not really intended to edit video on. Now, take that back. You should be able to do that on there.
I would still like to see Apple move in the direction of a docking station. I don't understand why, you know, I take mine home, I take it to work, and to hook up 6 plugs every time is just kind of annoying.
Well, I guess the reason they don't do it is because it would add a little more, that's just something else. Attached to the, I mean, bulky
and like
inside
a Bluetooth mouse doesn't, or you know, half the other accessories they try to sell you for the laptop or your iPod, or you know, there's always some reason to add on. People who want mobility, but yet a station and the quickness of moving it in and out of that station are going to pay for that. I think that's a very useful thing.
I tell you what, I think it would be nice if they had something where you plug in one USB cable, you know, to a bar that has everything plugged into it, you know, as a docking station. Something like that, even.
You still got your power. You know, everything can't be run off of USB.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Discussion for another time.
Yeah.
Christmas lights. This is Bruce, guys. And speaking of Christmas lights, my ex-boss, Mark Caligari, co-founder of Innovative Software, which then got bought out by Informix Software, and was my former employee in a previous life, or I was his employee in a previous life.
Something like that.
Mark actually had his house doing just wild and crazy Christmas lights, computer controlled, back as early as 1981,
wow,
1982, in that time frame. He had all these wires that came from his basement of his ranch-style house that he was living in at the time. This is before Innovative went public, and he built a lot bigger house after that. Of course, I did too, but not as big as his. He had all these wires going out of the basement window of the ranch-style house, leading off to all of his bushes and everything around the front of the house, and it was all computer-controlled and did all this really wild stuff. Now, keep in mind, think of how expensive the computers were. He did this with a CPM-based computer, and then when an IBM PC became available along there in the middle part of the 80s, he was doing it with an IBM PC. And it was all controlled with parallel ports. He was doing everything with the old Centronics parallel port and had this kind of relay box and thing that he could control with the software that he wrote in assembly. And think how expensive an IBM PC XT machine was to dedicate to your Christmas lights. Anyway, that's the earliest known computer-controlled Christmas lights that I have a personal connection with. And eventually, he moved, as I said, to a new house, and he tried to do it one year, and in the highfalutin neighborhood that he moved to, his neighbors complained and wouldn't let him do it because he had huge traffic flow of people coming by his house.
I'd move
to look at his Christmas lights, and they did not like the riffraff driving through their neighborhood.
I guess not.
So there you go. Man, be careful, you know, what those local covenants are, or what your snooty neighbors make you stop doing at Christmas time. That's terrible, isn't it? Bye now.
Oh, don't get me started on de-restrictions.
Well, he covered a lot of stuff in there. The CPM machines were largely based on Z80 processors, and they made darn good controllers. Now he's probably going, where's my parallel port on my new machines?
Yeah. I know, I was going to say, there's another reason for having a parallel port on the box.
To run your 1981 Christmas program.
I mean, was his lights bi-directional? Or...
bi-directional.
Oh, well.
Houston, we have a problem.
Hi, guys. This is Eric from New York.
Hey, Eric.
What I was quoting about was Colossus, the Forbidden Project, where they put this computer online, and it hooked up to a Russian computer, and it tried to take over the world. Now, it was trying to keep tabs of its creator, and one of the things was the creator was a little unhappy. So it was forcing them to have sex with one of the girls in the lab, which I thought was pure evil, because a computer was forcing a guy to have sex with somebody he didn't want to have sex with.
Happens all the time.
It's a good movie, and it wound up turning out at the end of the movie, everybody was under the computer's control. If I remember right, it was Colossus, the Forbidden Project. And they're supposed to be making a remake of it, so. Eric from New York, signing off, 101.
Yes, more about computers are evil and will take over the world.
It sounded like one of those knockoff movies, like a mix between Star Trek and War Games into a porn.
Yeah, I'm working on that
V'ger
program.
V'ger came to Earth and made everybody have sex with each other, and while it took over Russia.
Keep the clean rating. Keep it clean.
Okay, Chuck, was it Scared Bitless? I made a note here.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what it was you were talking about in the show, but to me, what it says is you're up Bit Creek. I just can't come up with the rest of the phrase of what you're without. But anyway, yeah, you'd be up Bit Creek. And also, it was a little bit hard to tell. On the date thing, I was actually doing year, month, day, or thinking in that realm, because that's how I write down all my dates, because I think we should draw a line in the sand. We should rise up as the Technorama users and push for a societal change so that dates in year, month, day format become the date format for the entire world. This will allow us, as programmers, there should be some music in the background, but, you know, I don't want to violate it.
I had that ready.
Just imagine, there's music playing in the background. Okay, this would make us, as programmers, have the tool set and the wherewithal to keep the computer overlord from controlling our lives. Okay, anyway, yeah, Greg, it is really cool. You know, everybody should write down their dates as year, month, day. It would just make my life so much easier when I'm trying to write my show scripts, you know? Okay, really. Come on, people, let's go. Anyway, 101, bye.
And yeah, let's convert everybody to metric while we're at it.
We need an IEEE ANSI standard that says year, month, day, and we'll have her done.
Is there not a stand date standard at all?
Well, there's the C date standard, which is for like email and stuff. Next.
Okay, a couple of slight corrections. You know, we like to provide QA for the show.
Yeah.
It's Bruce Gorse. All right, here, number one, Craig.
Oh, here we go.
You're misremembering slightly, my friend. What you learned about from Abraham Lincoln is a score of years, 20 years to be exact, four score and 7 years ago. It was not, however many equivalent fortnights and 7 years ago in terms of that whole fortnight, I think. Like, that was a score. Okay. And then the other correction is Chuck.
Okay.
While T probably does live in Virginia, west of Washington, D.C.,
yeah.
I seriously doubt that he lives in West Virginia.
Did I say that?
Like hours and hours away from Washington, D.C. I may be wrong.
No.
I don't think so.
Slip of the tongue.
That's the wider part of Virginia that's up there by D.C., not... anyway, I doubt it's West Virginia.
I'm better at geography than that. I know where the two are.
Technically speaking, it's part of Virginia. It used to be part of D.C., but is it now back to being Virginia again when it was originally laid out? It was Alexandria was part of a big giant square, if you look at the map. That's digressing, and we wouldn't want to do that on a phone call, would we? 101, bye.
Okay. All right. For a long time, we've been trying to figure out what our listeners should be called. You know, Twit has their army, and some podcasts have their posse. Yeah. I think Bruce finally struck on it. We've got the Technorama users, which makes them sound more like drug addictions.
Is that an insult to them, or is that
No. I mean that with all affection.
Okay.
We now have a name.
Our user, super users.
Calling on the Technorama users.
No, roots.
Roots.
Hey, guys, Bruce again. Okay, this whole discussion of the Jetsons car and somebody mentioning the thing about parking and how it would improve parking if you could just press the button and it goes into the little suitcase.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it came to me in a flash. You know how there's all those rumors, you know, amongst the tinfoil hat crowd and everything about how the big companies, you know, the auto companies and the oil companies, there's some guy who's figured out how to make a car that runs off of water and you wouldn't even need gasoline if they pay him off, or if they can't buy him off, they, you know.
Yeah.
He mysteriously dies and the papers go away and no one knows. But it's all big illusion amongst big companies in order to control this. What would happen to city budgets if they lost all that income from parking meters and even more importantly from writing tickets when people park in places that they shouldn't or when the parking meter expires? I propose to you that city governments are preventing us from having our flying cars. Bye now.
It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, it's big city government.
All that revenue. They're trying to keep their meter maids in business.
Yeah, it's all clear now.
Sure.
guy, Will the Computer Guy. I just listened to the portion of your episode where you talked about Linux, Mac, or Windows and your favorite movie and TV characters. I think that's wonderful, but I have a bone to pick with the way most everybody else labels a Windows computer. They call it a PC. Now, I understand that back in the day it was an IBM PC, an IBM compatible, or all of those, and we used to call them all IBMs. But there came a time when all computers became personal computers, or PCs. A Mac is a PC. A Linux computer is a PC. I talked to an extreme Mac zealot one time, and I could not get her to understand that even though she uses a Macintosh, it is still a PC. Anyway, this will be the only time I bring this up, but you use a PC, I use a PC, I just happen to use Windows, and you guys use Mac and Linux. I think you also use Windows, too. Nope, that's it. Anyway. Hey, take care, guys. Bye.
It's like when you're down south and you order a Coke. You can have a Cherry Coke or an Orange Coke or a 7-Up Coke.
Where?
North Carolina, Georgia.
An Orange Coke?
You haven't run into that. Some places call it soda. Some people places call it pop.
Yeah.
A lot of people down south call it a Coke, just as a generic carbonated beverage.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, sorry, I see what you're saying. I was like, an Orange Coke. But yeah, if it's a cola type drink, a lot of people will just say Coke.
No, they'll say that for even the non-cola ones.
Well, see, I'm a Coke fan. I don't like Pepsi that much, you know. So I'll take a Diet Coke. Is Pepsi all right?
Pepsi, no Coke.
No, I'd rather have a sweet tea than Diet Coke or a Diet Pepsi rather.
I'm a PC. You're a PC. We're a PC. Kind of reminds me of the old Dr. Pepper commercial, but we won't recite that now. We've got more voicemail to go through, and we're running low.
Okay.
Hi, Chuck and Craig. This is Tom in California.
Tom!
Yeah, I just happened to run across something here in Wikipedia. I happened to look up the definition of a rack unit, 1U,
yes,
as we normally see for computer equipment that goes into racks.
Sure.
And there's a notation in there that says, coincidentally, a rack unit is equal to a vershok, which is an obsolete Russian length unit. I found that kind of interesting to go do a little side trip and listen to or read about what Peter the Great was figuring out. See you guys later. 101.
A vershok.
A vershok?
Wow.
That's a new one on me.
Never heard of that one before.
Because it's obsolete.
Oh.
He told you.
And it goes back to Peter the Great. Boy, Wikipedia. I think it knows everything.
If you know how to spell.
Vershok?
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll come up sometime in On This Day in Tech History.
Next week. And this day, Peter the Great used the first for shock.
Which is now one rack unit. You know, in the U.S., the distance of the rails on the railroad?
Yeah.
You know how far back that standard goes?
Oh, I'm sure. I don't know.
I don't know if this is true or just an urban legend, but if you trace it back, it goes all the way back to the Roman Empire.
Wow.
Because it was the distance that two horses would stand side by side, which determined where your wheels went, which determined, you know, on and on and on. And that's how we have, it's some bizarre measure, like 7 feet, 5 1/4 inches or something silly. And you're like, where did that number come from?
The gentleman that you interviewed for the National Railroad Museum, you should give him a call.
Oh, he would know.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that was true or not. I'll have to do that.
Yeah, give him a buzz, see what he says.
All right. More voicemail.
More voicemail.
And once again, it's time for the Archangel SP Comedy Minute.
Yay!
Hey.
Okay, Chuck and Craig. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Mac Mini.
Mac Mini who?
I Mac Mini mistakes when I try to do comedy. Yeah, another horrible tech joke from me. That's all, though. 101. Bye.
Good night.
But the timing was great. It wasn't really the comedy minute. It was like the comedy 32 seconds.
Yeah, stretch it out. It might work better. Nah, never mind.
Knock, knock. Wait. I said knock, knock.
Pause.
Oh, that's our cue.
Yeah.
And a couple from across the pond.
Correct. You should really reach out when you ask people to come and say something. Because before I know it, you'll have people calling you just to say something or anything or everything. Well, 1-0.
Yeah, I think we've been through that before. The something. Yeah. Call us and say something. Yeah.
Something. Call us anything. And say something.
Ping.
Yeah.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, it's Stu from the British Users Map podcast at www.bumpodcast.co.uk.
Stu!
I just thought I'd let you know what happens when you get two sci-fi shows confused as I did today. Basically, we now have a new show, and apologies for this guy, but let's, we now have a new show, Terminator, the Sarah Jane Adventures.
What?
In Chronicles Ethan. I must have been thinking about Doctor Who at the time, and obviously I put on Twitter, oh, wow, Sarah Jane Chronicles is actually coming to Virgin One in the UK. I'm like, yeah, cool. And I typed Sarah Jane. So there we go. Sorry. Have a great show, guys. Bye.
Hey, you know, she travels through time. No, wait, the Terminators travel through time.
Yeah, no, yeah, something like that. It's funny.
That brings us to the end of the voicemail. I do have one comment, though. What's that?
I want to say, January's still going on. McCraig's call-in challenge is still going on, so if you're new to the show, or if you've been a long-time listener and hadn't called in before, now's your time. The Craig call-in challenge is still going on, so bring it on. Call us, give us just a quick either hi or say something you've been wanting to say since episode one.
At a minimum, give us a call before Thursday the 24th and wish Craig a happy birthday.
Oh.
Aw, we do have one voicemail that was way too long. It was from Eliza C. about the Star Trek, The Experience, and she gave this great narrative, and it was about 5 minutes long. We now know the limit on voicemail is 5 minutes, and she got cut off, and she wasn't done yet. But thank you, Eliza, for all of that. That was terrific. We do have one email from Tom on a nano Fortnite. Apparently, this is actually a real measure. He didn't use it out of, you know, making fun of it. From Wikipedia, if you look up Fortnite, in the VMS operating system, which is something I'm sure everybody uses today, some configuration parameters are specified in micro-fortnights, or 1/1000th of a fortnight, or 1.2096 seconds. That's dang precise.
Yeah.
Milli-fortnights is about 20 minutes, and nano-fortnights is 1.2096 milliseconds.
Why don't you just say 20 minutes?
Huh? No, a milli fortnight is 20 minutes, and a nano fortnight is 1.2612 milliseconds.
No, what I'm saying...
They've also been used occasionally in computer science, usually in an attempt to deliberately over-complex and obscure. The aim is generally to slow users down, allowing them to set parameters only after some thought.
Or waste your own personal time reading Wikipedia entries.
Ooh, sting.
Ooh, that's funny. But what I was saying
was... It's an actual term.
See, that makes sense because I was like, okay, you said a micro Fortnite was, what, 20 minutes? So it's like, well, why didn't you just say 20 minutes?
No, milli Fortnite is 20 minutes.
Okay. But what I'm saying is, why don't you just skip all the crap and just say 20 minutes? Everybody knows what that is.
It's just not as cool.
Okay. Well, yeah, you got me there.
All right. Running a little long on the listener feedback show, we really appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, you too can be part of this micro Fortnite chaos.
Craig's challenge.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. Or if you happen to be listening to this before Thursday the 24th, drop us an email or a voicemail or an MP3. Call the listener line specifically set up for Craig's birthday, 206-279-4751. Lenny will be happy to take your call.
Oh,
or you
sure.
can email me that audio clip at chuck@chuckchat.com. Or if you have an article or a weird thing or a comment to the regular show, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear about it there. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media with a whole lot of other great audio content over at farpointmedia.net. Thanks to the following people who donate their time and talent during the week to keep Technorama going. Mad Marv for all of his great blog content. awesome stuff during the week. Pictures and audio files and YouTube videos and stories. I kind of feel like Dr. Seuss here.
And lions and tigers and bears, oh my.
Packages, boxes, and bows. Scott Reynolds, who keeps our modest live stream going on Sunday night along with Ustream. The chat room is provided by freenode.net. Join us every week, every Sunday night, along with their usual gang at irc.freenode.net. The channel name is Pound Technorama. I had to think about that. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama. It's the greatest way to let your friends know you are a geek. And give me a binary high five.
101. Till next time.